very disappointed with all the federal parties, to be honest, that none of them have spent any time speaking to the issues that are so important to the agriculture community. And it's hard to understand why, because, as you say, it's a huge economic factor, both directly and indirectly. And when we look at the issues that go into agriculture, they should be at least spending some time talking about it, and they're not.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with the fact that all the party leaders aren't from a farming background, from what I can, from at least from what I can see, anyway?
As far as I know, you're absolutely correct, and that probably is a factor. I think the other side of the coin is that the Conservatives see that there aren't many seats that they are probably going to win in addition to the ones that they already have. The Liberals probably don't see many seats that they're going to be able to flip, and the NDP will just try to hold on to the handful of seats that they have scattered here and there as well. So they're probably not trying to they probably don't see the prairies as being an area where they can win new seats, additional seats to ones that they already have.
And yet everybody has to eat.
Absolutely. You know, it, you know what, 3 or 4% of the population is directly involved in agriculture. Well, that means it's something like 96-97% of the rest of the population all depend on that that small percentage to put bread on the table and milk in the glass and eggs in the frying pan, you know, and so on down the line. So they are very dependent on the agriculture community. And, you know, even GDP-wise, we agriculture produces a substantial amount. You know, the target over the next few years is $75 billion of exports. That's a lot of zeros. That's a big number.
The one thing that I find really interesting about this, and this kind of plays in with what happened, I believe it was in the Netherlands not too long ago when there was the big farm protest, because their government was actually blaming farmers for climate change. Mm-hmm. And you hear rumblings of that sort of thing here as well, not to that extent, obviously, but you hear some people saying, well, you know, more has to be done in agriculture. It seems like there's always a lot of finger pointing when it comes to agriculture and practices, but no true understanding unless you're actually in farming.
Right. And I think, you know, back to that 2-4% of the population that are actually directly involved with agriculture, the other 96-97%, many of them have never been in a farm. They have no idea what a cattle farm or a grain farm actually looks like. They have no idea of the equipment that's involved, the technology that's involved. I mean, you sit in a modern day combine, and you're surrounded by screens and high tech software. And you know, I don't think somebody from a downtown urban setting really knows that or understands that, has any idea of how it all goes together. You know, we talk about climate change. You mentioned the Netherlands, and there are other examples around the world as well. I don't think people really understand what efforts today's Canadian farmers go to ensure that soil erosion is eliminated through no-till or low-till seeding, through how little fertilizer they actually want to apply to the land and things like that. Because, one, it costs them environmentally, but it also costs them money, and that all hits their bottom line. So farmers are good businessmen and women, and they want to ensure that products that are being delivered from the farm gate to the grocery store are as healthy as can be, both from an environmental perspective, but also from a dietary position as well. And I don't think many non-farmers have really thought that through or understand what it's all about.
And, you know, you pointed to soil erosion as one example. I mean, that's a huge example. I mean, if we still had things the way they were back in the 30s and the way some areas of the province were going through drought this year, we would have seen those same big dust clouds, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. There's a reason they were called the Dirty 30s, and that's not because of the color of the money. It was simply because of the amount of dirt that was you know, the topsoil that was literally blowing away from our prairies, ending up in huge dust clouds that decimated the prairies and the quality of our soil that we grow our grain in. And so, I mean, there have been huge changes to how we manage soil and seeds and fertilizer, water management, These are all important things that have developed over decades now. And maybe farmers need to take a little bit of the blame. Maybe we need to tell our story better. And but I think on the flip side, our politicians need to recognize the work that goes in and how it impacts our country if farm agriculture land is not properly acknowledged and taken care of.
Okay, so let's talk about the things that farmers could benefit from, I guess, on a federal level. If the farming community was to reach out to the politicians during this campaign, and I realize we only have a few days left, but if you're to reach out and say, pay attention to us, here's what we could use from you to help us, you know, take that next leap where climate change or whatever is concerned, what would you like them to know?
I think one of the biggest ones is I don't think most farmers are looking for a handout. Most farmers are entrepreneurial and they're business people, and they want to simply have access to their markets. And so I would say one of the biggest issues for our federal politicians is trade. We look at what's happened with canola in China. We can look at what's happened with durum wheat in Italy and Saudi Arabia. We can look at our pulse crops, lentils and so on, going to India. And they're all being blocked by those respective countries. And many of those reasons are purely political. And so our politicians need to recognize, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, they have hurt the farming industry by not having good trade relationships, or in some cases enforcing existing trade relationships through the WTO and other measures, so that it ensures that our crops are grown safely and here, and export to other countries happens on an equitable basis.
Now, do you hope whoever forms the next government is going to tackle, especially, I guess the one that sticks out, especially for me, because it just seems to be so forefront in the news, is the China issue?
Yes, and I mean, that is purely a political issue, and I don't want to delve into the depths of it because I think there's many nuances there as well. But, you know, the bottom line is that a political issue has harmed an industry to the tune of billions of dollars. And that impacts farmers directly. It also impacts planning for crop rotation and so on. If a farmer's taking canola out of their crop rotation because they don't see a market in China, what do they replace it with? What alternatives do they actually have? What options do they have to consider? And so certainly canola in China has been a huge impact. I'm the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association, but no farmer only crops wheat alone. They all have rotational crops, and so when one commodity is hit, it hits all farmers in across the country.
And have you, just kind of going down that road, have you seen a lot of change up in what they were planning to plant this year?
Well, for the 2019 crop, but when it all evolved with China, those decisions had already been made.
Right.
Seed had been ordered and decisions had been made. And basically, it was too late to change. There might have been some farmers that were able to change on the fly, but most farmers were not able to. They had already made their decisions and purchases and so on to put that into place. Farmers now, as soon as harvest, and let's face it, it's been a tough harvest year with weather conditions all across the prairies, but farmers will be putting their minds to that very soon. And if there are no changes, I suspect that some farmers will be taking a good hard look at how much canola they're actually going to seed, unless a new market opens up. And at this point, there are possibilities, but there are no contracts or promises in place yet.
Right. One thing that I saw from, I believe it was the Greens' Elizabeth May, she was saying that she thinks farmers, Canadian farmers, need to start looking, I guess, more inward as opposed to looking outward to find different markets, and that we should just be feeding ourselves to begin with. But that's a hard way to do business, isn't it?
Well, it means that there's going to be a lot of farmers going out of business because we grow far more than we actually need to eat in Canada. Agriculture is an export market, and there are countries that need and use and buy our product on a regular basis all around the world. And Canada is known to have high quality grain, and to only look inwardly is very narrow and short-sighted. And it doesn't make any sense, because it means that there's going to be a lot of farmers closing the doors or shutting the gates with no hope for the future if we go down that path.
Yeah, and once again, someone who doesn't know farming as exactly. well as they should, right?
Exactly. And quite frankly, you know, some of the other things that the Green Party have said, and I don't wish to offend voters that are supporting the Green Party, but their agriculture policy is not 21st century of agriculture methods of doing it. And so we look at that and we say, I don't think these people have ever been on a farm, and certainly whoever wrote the policy is not on a farm either.
Okay, so once again, like if you could get the word out to the politicians in these last few days of the election, what do you need them to know about agriculture in Canada?
I think the two things: one, internally, when you put a carbon tax on the farm and all the inputs that go into a farm, farmers sell at market levels, and so they can't add on an additional price to their grain as they're selling it out the door to different companies. And so when the carbon tax is applied, they have to eat that cost. That comes out of their bottom line. So that's sort of from an internal financial perspective. The other factor is what we've just mentioned, that's trade. That, farmers, whether they're 5,000 acres or 25,000 acres, they're looking at where can they send their commodity, where can they send their grain. And when there's uncertainty in the marketplace, the international marketplace, farmers have to make decisions that reflect what those changes or possible changes are actually going to be. And so if there's two things that I would recommend for the federal parties to look at is, one, don't apply the carbon tax to farmers. It only increases their costs and hurts their bottom line, which is not healthy for the industry. And secondly, give us consistency and access to our foreign markets with some assurance so that farmers can grow and sell their product.
Is this something that the Western Canadian Wheat Growers is going to tackle, whoever forms the new government?
Yes, certainly. And that's part of the rationale. We, the background for some of our conversation today is that the Western Canadian Wheat Growers sent out five policy questions to all of the federal registered parties, asking for their positions on a variety of things, including trade and carbon tax. And when the House resumes later this fall or early in 2020, depending on whoever wins, those are issues that we will be talking to our elected officials about, both at the individual member parliament level, but also the Ag Committee and the backroom policymakers within Agriculture Canada.
Now, I'm not looking to influence anybody's vote any way or the other, because I don't have any party affiliations, but from that survey that you did any of the parties stand out on, well, here's someone who is paying attention or who isn't, or maybe what some of their ideals are?
Well, the ones that probably came closest to the position statements that the Western Canadian Wheat Growers stand for were the Conservatives. And anybody can come to our website at wheatgrowers.ca and look at the results and read for themselves. We had six parties that returned our questionnaire. We had heard back from the Conservative Party, the Liberal Party, the New Democrats, the Green Party, the Christian Heritage Party, and the Marijuana Party. And the Conservatives were closest to the policy statements that the Wheat Growers have worked on and have on our website as well. So that was encouraging, that somebody's actually listening to what we're saying. We don't know who's going to be government as of Monday night, but we hope that whoever is government will take the needs of the agriculture community to heart and actually work on it with sincerity and honesty and long-term outlook.